Te reo ererangi o te mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora tātou, nga mihi nui ki a koutou. A warm welcome to Cab On Air, a program brought to you by Citizens Advice Bureau, where we talk about your rights and where and how you can get help to support you and your whānau. Our focus is on some of the hot topics we see at CAB, and we invite other community organisations to join us and share information about their services as well. Kia ora, ko Ronnie Aho. I'm your host for today, along with Tom, our technical producer. This week in the studio, we're delighted to have Glenda Martin, volunteer in Canterbury, talking about the state of volunteering and the wonderful work that she and Volcan do to support volunteers in our region and our city. Welcome, Glenda. It's fantastic to have you with us here in the studio. So maybe just to kick us off, you might just give us a little bit of background about yourself and what brought you into the role that you're in now as General Manager.
Kia ora. It's great to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about volunteering. I joined Volunteering Canterbury back in 2012, and it was after the earthquake. It's a new role, and essentially it was around outreach, going out to see what was happening in the community post-quake. A lot of organisations had been in offices that they'd lost, working from home, off kitchen tables, that sort of thing. What does it look like? Burnout for volunteers, all the uncertainty of that time. So it was a new role, it was a part-time role. Essentially, while it was around supporting organisations, it then led to speaking to groups of young people, people who are in some sort of transition perhaps, and just grew and is now a full-time role.
And that's a really interesting past. I had no idea of that, to be honest. So it was very much an outreach kind of role, yes, to start with. And you mentioned, obviously, it started in 2012. Are you actually part of a much bigger national organisation, or is Volcan sort of something that is very specific to Canterbury and Christchurch?
Volunteering Canterbury was set up in 1988 as the second volunteer centre to be set up across Aotearoa. First one was in Dunedin, set up at the idea really of Lady Judith Hay. She'd seen a volunteer centre across in Australia and recognising the amount of work that she was doing, particularly with youth groups, the need for volunteers, she thought a volunteer centre in Christchurch would be great. So that's how we started. So now there's 17 volunteer centres across New Zealand, and we do belong to a network called the Volunteer Centre Network Aotearoa, but all the volunteer centres are run autonomously. And then in Wellington we also have Volunteering New Zealand, which sits at a kind of an advocating role, if you like. They don't do any recruitment, but they speak to government, make submissions and essentially support volunteering at that lead group at a national level.
Right, so maybe taking things to government and that sort of thing. Do they do a lot of the fundraising for you, or are you all autonomous?
No, everyone does their own fundraising. So we continue to enjoy great support from Lights of Christchurch City Council. There is also a national community volunteer capacity fund, which volunteer centres are able to access as well, which comes out of the Minister of Community and Volunteer Sectors Office.
Right, okay. I suppose belonging to a network is actually a really good thing in that it allows you to be able to respond to need in your own particular community.
Yes, it's good because we have different, in Christchurch, for example, we have programs that aren't offered at other areas, which are perhaps aren't as well resourced as we are, or just different communities. So we have a huge diversity, for example, in Christchurch. So we tend to do a lot of work around training, breaking down cultural barriers and those sorts of things that perhaps some of the other centres mightn't have the same sort of issues.
Okay, that's fantastic. I'm just wondering too, that you mentioned something about funding and you're very grateful for support from places like CCC, etc. Do you have other funding sources that you can access, or do you have to raise a lot yourselves?
We are predominantly funded by DAA, which is lotteries. Right. COGS also comes out of DAA, which is the Community Organisations Grant Scheme. Yep. And RATA Foundation is very supportive, particularly around our training. So we do some governance bites training, which is totally funded by Rider Foundation and Christchurch City Council.
Right.
Yeah, and then there's the kind of like the main ones, and then there's other things that come along. For example, Christchurch Casino has continued to, the last few years, support us as well.
Yeah, these sound quite familiar, I think, for most NGOs or, you know, for not-for-profits raising money. And we're very grateful, you know, to those organisations for supporting us all, I know. So tell us about the sector. I'm really fascinated by just this whole volunteering sector because I know it makes an enormous contribution to the country as a whole. So tell us, give us some stats.
Okay, so there's probably about 115,000 not-for-profits across New Zealand, about 1,200 across Waitaha, Canterbury. And Volunteering Canterbury has got about 260 members. So the figures that we have, I believe, are like tips of the iceberg,
right,
really, because we're taking those figures from people that we know that we're dealing with, organisations that we're dealing with. But we do know that across Waitaha in 2024, there's nearly 1.3 million volunteer hours contributed to the local community. Contribution of just under $30 million, if you were to put a dollar value on it. And across New Zealand nationally, that figure's about $4 billion. So that's the sort of contribution in numbers that we're talking.
And that's annually?
It's annually.
Wow, that's a lot of time and a heck of a lot of money.
It is. But the big figure, the figure that I think's most important, is that we can say from that we've Cantabrians directly helped by volunteers with just Volunteering Canterbury member organisation. So again, tip of the iceberg, 383,000 Cantabrians supported by those volunteers. So that's huge.
Wow. That's just about getting up to the population of Christchurch.
I think the construction industry sits at a similar nationally in terms of contribution to GDP. So it is, it's big figures. And that's a lot of people, there's 1 million people who volunteer in sport each year, for example. And I suspect, as parents and so on, that when we've been volunteering with sport, we didn't actually count it.
No.
A lot of Marae-based and also faith-based. So sport, Marae-based, faith-based, a lot of that volunteering simply, I believe, isn't counted.
No, exactly.
We just get on and do it.
Yep. In small communities, different cultural communities as well,
yep.
Huge amounts of time. Yeah, that's incredible. We are a nation of volunteers still.
We are, And with a country that has a population which is relatively small, 5 million, across quite a large geographical area, it's fair to say that, you know, that's the reason we're able to access so many services no matter where we are. It's due to the gifting of time by volunteers.
Is the landscape changing in your view? It's been a tough time over the last few years, and I guess a lot of people are really struggling with all kinds of extra challenges. Has that affected the volunteer landscape in terms of people's willingness or ability to actually give those hours?
I think that uncertainty has definitely impacted on people's ability to commit. They don't know, there is that insecurity, what's happening. So people perhaps aren't able to commit long-term to volunteering like they would have previously. But the main thing, reason why people in our Volunteering New Zealand's research say that they don't volunteer is lack of time. So people are generally time poor. And that is largely around cost of living. And I'm probably a little bit older than most people. I remember when we had a weekend, one late night shopping. We don't do that now, right? So people are, so look at sport. You know, if we don't have people available at the weekends, what does that look like for our sport down the track? So sport groups are finding it difficult to get people. And it's around time. And a lot of that's cost of living driven as well. So households needing two incomes, whereas previously, perhaps they would have been quite comfortable with one income. We've got some of our older people who might have moved into volunteering in retirement. are staying if they've got the opportunity. Some of them are just deciding to stay in paid employment. Some of them are also moving into caregiving roles for grandchildren, again, to support the cost of living of their own children. Mm. So there's that sort of thing that is changing, which is definitely contributing. COVID made a difference as well. The first lockdown, people were really a little bit of cabin fever, missing that social connection through volunteering, keen to get back. But a couple of years down the track, everyone's a little bit older. Some people had found other things to do in that time. So that has changed as well. So some people didn't come back to volunteering post-COVID.
Right. Right, that's interesting. You reminded me of the sort of club sandwich generation with people, you know. Now I think, well, it used to be the sandwich generation, didn't it? Now it's the club sandwich generation with people having kids older and so forth. So there's a lot of, I guess, a lot of barriers or just things that are maybe making people rethink their priorities.
I think they're not so much barriers as that pace of life has just changed, and so it's just adjusting to that and what does that look like. So the largest number of people volunteering in New Zealand are still over 60, but there's a huge growth in the 18 to 30-year-olds of interest in volunteering, and that bodes well for a country like New Zealand because we do need lifelong volunteers. So we want that volunteer experience, particularly for our young people, that first volunteer experience to be a good one so that they will want to do it again.
Mm. Yeah, that is, and it's crucial because as the older generation ages out, we need people to take up that sort of, if you like, that service orientation, because I think it is almost a service orientation, isn't it?
Mm.
People want to actually get out there and help the community. But why else do people volunteer? I mean, what do you find are the kind of main motivators for people volunteering, or what do people get out of volunteering in your view?
Yes, I think we don't talk about the benefits for the volunteers enough. Mm. So social connection is a huge one. Last year I attended the International Association for Volunteer Effort World Conference. There were some great studies from around the world of people who were connecting, making really good connections in a time post-COVID where there's quite a bit of social isolation and loneliness is sort of an epidemic, that social connection. So a lot of people were getting that benefit from their volunteering. But one of the motivators that we're seeing a lot of is for gaining experience which is transferable into the paid workplace. So it's harder to get part-time jobs now, or straight from school, what do you do? So that transition. So if you're doing some volunteering, particularly as a young person, that might be replacing what would have been in my generation perhaps a part-time job after school. Picking up some skills, speaking to different people that you wouldn't normally be connecting with, and having a little bit of a taster also of what you might like to do in terms of where you want to be in 5 years in paid employment. For example, if you're thinking you might want to study early childhood education, then perhaps thinking about volunteering and that's with young people. And then is it really what you want to do? If it is, that's great. Now you're volunteering alongside people who have possibly already taken that career path that you're thinking about doing. So you pick up a bit of a mentor, some tips and tricks. So I think that is quite a strong motivation at the moment, just getting skills and just continuing to be engaged with your community, particularly if you have been feeling a bit isolated.
Right. So there's pluses really for whatever demographic or, you know, age group you're in, isn't there?
Yes.
I mean, it's great for young people, for their CVs, for their experiencing just the workplace and the possibilities for career opportunities, but the social cohesion, the social connection's really important.
Yes. And in Otatahi, we've had such a change in population, the diversity. So we've got lots of newcomers, and that's a great way to engage and get to know your communities to volunteer.
Yep, that's exactly right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because the very first time I ever heard you, Glenda, you were talking about the volunteer sector, and I was very excited. I just sort of thought, wow, these stats are incredible. So thanks for giving us a bit of an overview of some of those, because they're pretty impressive, actually. Yeah. We talked about why people volunteer and how the landscape's is changing. What do you see as the most obvious or the most frequent challenges in the volunteer landscape?
I think it's continuing to have resources to support our volunteer managers so that they have the tools to enable them to manage and give a worthwhile experience for our volunteers. So if we've got people coming in who are motivated because they want some transferable skills to take into the workplace, we need to give them an opportunity to feel a little bit like a paid workplace, because essentially volunteers are still covered under health and safety legislation. So we need to provide a workplace that's a real life opportunity to connect and value people's contribution. Just give them that recognition so that they feel worthwhile, because that's, again, that social connection, people feeling good about themselves. Volunteering ticks off all the five ways of well-being. You know, you learn something new, you're giving back, and you're feeling connected. So I think that although it can be seen as a barrier, we need to still, for our volunteer managers, they would love people just to come and stay and not leave. That's not going to happen. So we can talk about that as a barrier, but from Volunteering Canterbury's point of view, what we do is try and support our volunteer managers. Think smart about how to do induction so that, you know, we can perhaps these big volunteer roles, we can cut them into smaller chunks so that a few people can do one job so people don't get burnt out. There's enough experiences to go around. But definitely that time commitment is a big one. People, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world at the moment, so people don't necessarily want to think about where they're going to be in a few years' time to make a big commitment. But if we can get our people on board and we look after them and they feel worthwhile and valued, then they might stay for many, many years.
So it's really important that we help people to be as flexible and as sort of open to change as possible, really, and see things that might be barriers as actual opportunities. Okay. Yeah, that's great. Can you tell us a bit more then? You're talking about your work, but give us a clearer picture of exactly what your role, and you have some other staff that work with you?
Yes. So we've got one full-time role, which is myself as general manager, and then we've got an accounts and admin person, and we've got a social media and special projects person on staff, and we have two volunteers who come and support us in the office for a morning each week as well. And then, of course, we've got our governance team. So all the 15,000 not-for-profits have all got governance teams. So they do the strategic planning, that sort of thing, and oversee the vision, I guess, of the organisation.
Okay.
So sort of a usual day in my role, it still is predominantly outreach. So talking to groups in transition, might be alcohol rehab places, that sort of thing, or going and talking to groups of young people, high school students, organising expos. This year we've had an expo for newcomers. We've got an expo out at the University of Canterbury that we partner with each year. Just out and about talking about volunteering, so about the benefits of volunteering, how to find out about volunteering, and then on top of that, a big part of my work is a training program for our volunteer managers.
Okay, that's fantastic to know, actually. Your mahi is really working with organisations rather than individuals, although, of course, you go out and talk to individuals.
Yes, we
talk to
individuals.
So you're kind of two-pronged.
But we only recruit for organisations, so we wouldn't send someone off one-on-one. Our organisations have a volunteer manager that's our point of contact. They advertise their roles on our website, and people come on the website and can search by category of what might be of interest to them and then apply for the role. So we don't do any of that. It's kind of like a bit of a matching service, but it's more of a connecting of the two.
Okay.
And then they do the actual induction and any police checking that might be needed and reference checking and so on.
I don't know whether to call it a dating site or a brokering site.
It's more like a brokering than a matching. Not so much of the swipe left.
No. Well, I've certainly seen some cab jobs up on your site as well. So are you finding you're getting lots and lots of jobs coming up all the time? Of roles and volunteer organisations coming up all the time?
Yes. Lots of variety and new member organisations coming on board and So there's always different roles coming up.
Yeah, it sounds like it's really, really, it's so organic and it's changing. I mean, it's solidly, you know, I'm sure you've got the major organisations in the city working with you all the time, but new things coming on.
New ones
as well.
Coming, yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's interesting because when I first started talking to some of the groups about volunteering, a lot of them had never heard of Volunteering Canterbury, and nowadays I can go around a group and ask about volunteering, and a lot of them have and talk about roles that they've found through our site. So people are being, about 90%, over 90% of people are coming through the website, through that online platform, which, you know, it was nice when people were coming into our office, but that's not the way people are doing things these days. So it just seems to have made it much more accessible to a wider group of people, and then other people still do come in and see us.
Right. But you're kind of out and about rather than the other way around.
Yes,
yeah. Push-pull kind of thing. Yeah. Okay, that's great. So what do you find the most rewarding for you and your team about working in the area you are?
I think it's just the passion that people bring to it and the good stories that I hear when I'm out talking to groups. I'll walk in and someone will go, oh, you know, I got this role through Volunteering Canterbury, and just really the passion that people talk about their volunteering, the people that they've met, the journeys that they've been through their volunteering, it's really quite powerful.
Right. Any good stories you've got there that you'd like to share, that you can share without broaching too much, breaching too much privacy?
I've had a couple of really strong but powerful stories, I guess. I remember one young man came in to see us, and he hadn't been in paid employment, and he had cerebral palsy, and he had a few things happening for him in his life at the time, and he wanted to volunteer because he thought that would be something that could be useful, just to meet people and that sort of thing. But he didn't have a lot of confidence, so we had a lot of conversations around how a volunteer role might be just a shift of 3 hours or something. You know, what could go wrong in 3 hours, right? So eventually he went off to an organisation, and as far as I know, he's still there, and I catch up with him every now and then, and that led to just gaining more confidence and doing all sorts of things. So a really good story. And the next time I met him, after the first time he'd come into the office and gone off to a volunteer role, he was actually at a support group that I was invited along to speak to about volunteering. And here he was at the end of the table going, you should be try volunteering to all these people. And I'm like, I know that voice. So this is someone who was really quite hesitant about trying that journey, but it's been really useful. Yes, and there's some great stories about like that.
Well, I think the wonderful thing about volunteering is you can do as little or as much as you like.
Absolutely.
Can't you?
Yeah. And you can do things that you might have always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And you just want to try it. So I also know someone who was a volunteer on the Peace Train, which runs around the Botanic Gardens, and always wanted to drive trains, you know. So there's your opportunity to try something you've always wanted to do.
Yeah. So, again, for a lifetime – lifetime ahead driving trains. Yeah, it sounds. You were talking before about some social media work that you were doing and making a film, and how you had a group of people from ARA who were making that for you, and just the amazing experiences they got in speaking to various people. I don't know if you want to do it.
So we did a project with the New Zealand Broadcasting School in 2023, and we had a group of 7 students assigned to the project, and they were from across the different types of media, so film, radio, and a little bit of comms. So they went out and met with a group of our organisations that we'd introduced them to, and they came back very buzzy. And it was interesting because they'd all had a favourite, because I asked them, you know, what was the best part? And one of them had was really taken by ringing church bells. So I don't know, to get hooked on ringing church bells probably didn't quite happen, but really fascinated by that whole thing. And a group had also gone out with Coast Guard and had just absolutely loved racing around the waters in the back of the Coast Guard boat. And so things that they hadn't thought of as volunteer roles, that was what was quite interesting, that we just take for granted so much that happens around us, and we don't really realise that there's actually often it's volunteers that are tucked in behind the scenes making these things happen.
Yeah. That's incredible. Do you by any chance have a list of websites or volunteer organisations on your
On your website? We've got volunteer roles on the website. So volcan.org.nz, opportunities, that's where they're all listed. Mm. And the information about the organisation is there, but you're looking for the role rather than the organisation.
Yeah, just wondering how you can find some of these incredible opportunities.
So all the roles are listed under categories. There's always about 250 roles there. Just flick through. Could be arts and crafts, could be sport, could be young people. Could be mentoring, could be IT.
Oh, that's really helpful. Yep. Yeah, yeah. Glenda, I wonder if there's any how can we support you? Is there anything that the community can be doing better to support your work?
I think it's just a matter of if you want to know more about volunteering or how to get involved with volunteering, just give us a call. We know that people are busy. We've got a group volunteering program that supports businesses in particular or sports groups or youth groups to get out and do some volunteering for one-off projects. Last year we had about 1,700 people involved in that program alone and nearly 4,300 hours that just through that program out into the community. So that's between Mondays and Fridays. So capturing some of the business people whose employers give them time to go out and do something in the community, and also aiming at that group that may otherwise not have the time to volunteer. So there's a few ways that you can find to make the time. We organise a couple of volunteer days for families each year as well, so you don't have to take time out from being away from your family or from work. Get out there and do something together as a family. So if you're thinking about volunteering, you know, it's like we have elections once every 3 years, but every day you can do something to make a statement about the sort of community that you'd like, and volunteering is a great way to do that. And it could be formal volunteering, which is the sort of volunteering we talk about, or it could be informal volunteering, like picking up a piece of litter on your way to work in the morning.
That's right. I was talking to someone recently who talked about volunteer work that she did, which was mostly just collecting on corners for different organisations.
Yes. Yep.
And she loved doing that, talking to people.
Yep.
Yeah. So isn't too little. There's no such thing as too little.
No such thing as too little, no.
Any final words that you, anything you want to leave us with, Glenda?
Oh, probably just a shout out to everybody who's listening who is a volunteer and gifting their time already. Thank you. Keep up the good mahi. Yeah, any questions, please do get in touch.
Okay. Thank you, Glenda. And thanks so much for joining us today. So Glenda's given us a wonderful overview today of the state of and importance of volunteering in New Zealand in 2025. It's a crucial role that helps community cohesion, and the work done is extra valuable in terms of money and its contributions in that way, but in terms of the sort of glue that it adds to our community, it's invaluable. So if you're looking for volunteer roles, Volcan posts many of these up on their website, and of course others can be found on websites for individual organisations. So great to have you with us today, Glenda. Thanks for all your work promoting and supporting volunteering in our communities. We couldn't do without the generosity of people offering their time and enthusiasm and expertise on behalf of others for no financial gain. So thank you for everything that you do. And finally, thanks for listening, everyone. Until next month, mai te wā. Just a reminder that this show can be found as a podcast. Just go to the Plains FM website and look for Cab on Air. In the meantime, if you're looking for information on any topic, but especially if they relate to your rights in New Zealand, you can contact us at CAB in person, by phone, emails, and through our website, and a lot of other ways as well, I think. We provide verifiable, accurate, and confidential information to help you understand what your next steps should be. So tune in next month when we'll highlight another organisation providing information and support within our community. Kia ora. Thank you for listening. Until next time. Mā te wā.